Well, good morning. And a warm welcome in the name of our good Lord Jesus to our service today. Lovely to have you with us. Just a reminder that Coffee Morning is coming up this week, isn't it? On the 3rd of June. And remember the street party that is happening down the end at Wensum Court. Remind me of the time, Anne. 12 till 3, and it's bring your own on the Saturday. On the Friday, see, there we go. Oh, it is on the Saturday. Sunday. Shall we just be there on Friday, Saturday and Sunday? Yeah, which day is it, Sue? You'll know.
Sunday,
there we go. I have no idea anymore. Well, lovely to have you all with us anyway. And let's remember why we are here. And it's to give glory to the Lord, to lift his name on praise, and to invite him among us that we may learn his ways. So let's just have a moment of quiet to steady ourselves, shall we? And then I'll lead us in prayer. Loving Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have brought us out of the busyness and the routine of life, Lord, to be reminded that our rhythm of life should be in step, in keeping with you. And so, Lord, we come this morning and we ask you that you would order our steps, Lord, that we would be led and guided by your precepts and through the Holy Spirit, Lord. Stick to those and remain in you. We thank you, Lord, for the gracious gift of salvation that you've given to each of us. Help us to rejoice in this daily and to pursue you in all of our ways. And so we dedicate this time to you, lifting praise to you, lifting our prayers to you, and ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would teach us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so for our first hymn today, we're going to sing Mission Praise, number 991. And you'll remember that this is one that we tried as a church for the first time the other week, and it has an echo. I can't remember which way around we did it last week, but this time it's going to be the men singing the first bit and the ladies coming in with the echo, all right? So men for the first bit, ladies for the echo.
I will praise you. I will praise you.
Wow, that was fantastic. Well done, everybody. Right. Now, the children, just this week when they're going to go out to Sunday school, going to fill out those little bits in Moses' faithful journey that have ended up putting him in the Hall of Fame. This is the last week they're going to spend, and there's still little bits that we haven't mentioned. You know, Moses had such a close journey with the Lord. And, you know, he was on that journey through the wilderness with the people of Israel, also with his sister Miriam and his brother Aaron. And there's one thing that really stands out to me with his brother Aaron in particular, and it's not a good thing. It happened when Moses went up to receive the law. This is God's covenant. And he was gone for a long time up there. And the people began to get a bit nervous, and that they began to have fear overtake them. And their faith dissipated and went away because he was gone for so long. They thought, well, what's our backup plan? What's our plan B? And the thing to know with God, you don't need a plan B. Here's your plan A, B, C, and all the way through to Z. He needs to be your only plan. But when the law was given to Moses, Aaron had the people come to him and they said in a panic, you know, we need to do something. And he took all their gold and he made it into an idol for them. And they built a calf. And they made this their God. And when Moses came down, you can imagine, he'd been spending all that time up with the Lord, putting together this marriage covenant, really, that would put God and his people together and keep them together. And when he came down, they were being unfaithful to their God, who had inscribed this covenant, this law for them. And Moses took the stones that it was written on, and he smashed them. Aaron's faith wavered, and for that, he wouldn't get into the promised land. He wouldn't make it across. And yet, Aaron was still used by God mightily, and he was still used in the way that he was given the authority to bless the people. And he was given these words of blessing that he could speak over the people that were God's words spoken through him. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Even though Aaron's faith was not perfect, even though Aaron's faith was anything but perfect, God still used him to bless others. Now the children, Karina and Lilia in particular, have had a competition of sorts at school this week. It's a talent contest. And during this talent contest, people could get up and they could showcase their talents. And Karina and Lilia had been practicing Makaton to the blessing, to this blessing. Put to music, and they didn't get a chance to do it. Can you believe it? They had somebody up doing a Rubik's Cube, but nobody there doing the blessing. Talk about priorities. But it was impressive, wasn't it? The Rubik's Cube, was it 30 seconds or something he did it in? He did it quickly, didn't he? It's a difficult puzzle to do. But anyway, the children are going to teach you a little bit of Makaton this morning. We're going to have the song on. You can sing to it. It goes on for quite a while, so you'll have plenty of times to see where it repeats itself and follow along. And do sing along to it if you like as well. But Karina and Lilia, do you want to come up? And perhaps you can stand just here in front of the communion table, and we can all stand or sit and sing along and follow you with what you're doing. Come and stand down here where we can see you. There we go. And I'm going to come and stand down so I can see you too. So you're facing this way. That's it.
Children, may his favor be upon you, and a thousand generations.
meaningfully. I think the actions make the words even more meaningful, don't they? And that they're the words of blessing that God gave to Aaron, and they still bless people today. What wonderful words they are. But like Aaron, we all go astray, don't we? Our faith isn't perfect. We say, on the one hand, we trust in God, and then we'll go and do something else that contradicts it. That's what we're like. But God, despite that, still wants to use us like he used Aaron to bless others. And we can do this by sharing God's word. Aaron had God's word that he was given to share and bless people with, and we too have that. And it is the gospel of salvation. So you can say to anybody that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that all believe on him shall have eternal life, and that will be a blessing to them through you from God. So you see, you're just like Aaron, in the bad, but also in the good. And God will use you if you speak his words. So I hope that's an encouragement for all of us to learn God's words and to learn to speak it freely to others. Well, we're going to pray for the children as they go out now. And we pray, Lord, that that this will bless them, this time will bless them. So let us pray. Loving Lord, we thank you for those words that you spoke to Aaron that were a blessing to Israel. We thank you, Lord, that those words continue to be a blessing for us today. And as the children came out and they used sign language to speak that blessing over all of us, we thank you that we are blessed through that. Bless our children as well, that they may come to know your word as we should know your word, that it might be a blessing to us and enrich our lives. We thank you for your grace freely poured out, a blessing that we do not deserve, but that you give so freely, that it may bring us to salvation. In Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen. So we're going to sing the children on their way now as we sing number 357 in Baptist Praise and Worship, number 357, which is Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God. Seek. Do take a seat. And if you keep your hymn book in hand, we're going to turn to our psalm reading now, which is number 665 in Baptist Praise and Worship, number 665. And when you arrive there, you'll see that we're going to read these words from Psalm number 31. I'll read the words that are in the light type if you'll all chime in with words written in bold to Psalm number 31. I come to you, Lord, for protection. Never let me be defeated. You are my refuge and defense. Guide me and lead me as you have promised. I
place
How wonderful are the good things you keep for those who honor you. Be strong, be courageous, all you that hope in the Lord. Amen. And we'll now take up our collection. And so let us pray, giving thanks. Our loving Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the gifts you so freely give. You are all we need. All that we have is in you, and all that we need is in you. So help us, Lord, to focus all of our attention, all that we have, on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now David's going to read to us from 1 Samuel chapter 23.
The passage is headed, David is in the hill country. David stayed in hiding in the hill country in the wilderness near Ziph. Saul was always trying to find him, but God did not hand David over to him. David saw that Saul was out to kill him. David was at Horesh in the wilderness near Ziph. Jonathan went to him there and encouraged him with assurances of God's protection, saying to him, "Don't be afraid. My father Saul won't be able to harm you. He knows very well that you are the one who will be the king of Israel and that I will be next in rank to you." The two of them made a sacred promise of friendship to each other. David stayed at Horesh and Jonathan went home. Some people from Ziph went to Saul at Gibeah and said, "David is hiding in our territory at Horesh on Mount Hakalah in the southern part of the Judean wilderness. We know, Your Majesty, how much you want to capture him. So come to our territory and we will make sure that you catch him." Saul answered, "May the Lord bless you for being so kind to me. Go and make sure once more. Find out for certain where he is and who has seen him there. I hear that he is very cunning. Find out exactly the places where he hides, and be sure to bring back a report to me straight away. Then I will go with you, and if he is still in the region, I will hunt him down, even if I have to search the whole land of Judah." So they left and returned to Ziph ahead of Saul. David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in a desolate valley in the southern part of the Judean wilderness. Saul and his men set out to look for David, but he heard about it and went to a rocky hill in the wilderness of Maon and stayed there. When Saul heard about this, he went after David. Saul and his men were on one side of the hill, separated from David and his men who were on the other side. They were hurrying to get away from Saul and his men, who were closing in on them and were about to capture them. Just then, a messenger arrived and said to Saul, "Come back at once, the Philistines are invading the country." So Saul stopped pursuing David and went to fight the Philistines. That is why that place is called Separation Hill.
More than anything from today's reading, we grasp a very real sense that God is in control. There's a certain providence about David's situation that cannot be denied. Yet he continues, doesn't he, at this point, to experience uncertainty and even hardship. And he cries out to the Lord. And if you are reading your Bible, sometimes as you come to this section, you don't fully appreciate what it is that David is going through because of the way the books are ordered. But if you're lucky enough to have a chronological copy of the Bible, then you get to join with and share with an experience of David through this moment. And this is where having a chronological Bible is really a good tool to have. Now, chronological Bibles are a fine thing to have. Just because the books are ordered like this, there's no sacredness, there's no sacred way of ordering the Bible. For the Jews, they have a different order to which we have in our Christian Bibles, the way that it's made up. So that you don't have to read the Bible in the order that it's written for it to be the Bible. So this chronological Bible can actually offer something of more insight to us. Now, if you ever want to go and find up a word in Scripture, it's not a very good Bible to look that up because the Scriptures are all mixed up. But there's a chronological order of events that happen that can help you experience the event as it unfolds. And here in this passage, if we read the Psalms alongside what's going on here, then we can learn something about what David is going through and experiencing. And here he cries out in complaint to the Lord. He's experiencing all these hardships, he's in the wilderness, and he's crying out in complaint. And if you read Psalm 109 alongside this reading, you experience some of what David is going through, some of what is in his heart. "My God, whom I praise, do not remain silent," he says, "for people who are wicked and deceitful have opened their mouths against me. They have spoken against me with lying tongues. With words of hatred they surround me. They attack me without cause." This is why he's in the wilderness. "In return for my friendship they accuse me, but I am a man of prayer." Saul thought that he was going to lead a rebellion, to kill him, to take his throne. He was a friend of Saul's. "They repay me evil for good and hatred for my friendship. Appoint someone evil to oppose my enemy," David says to God. "Let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he is tried, let him be found guilty, and may his prayers condemn him." He says, "May his days be few, may another take his place of leadership. May his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. May his children be wandering beggars. May they be driven from their ruined homes. May a creditor seize all he has. May strangers plunder the fruits of his labor. May no one extend kindness to him or take pity on his fatherless children." David's in a desperate state here, isn't he? He's crying out to the Lord, "Help me, do this against my enemy. May his descendants be cut off, he continues, their names blotted out from next generation. May the iniquity of his fathers be remembered before the Lord, he says. May the sin of his mother never be blotted out. May their sins always remain before the Lord. May that he may blot out the name on the earth. For he never thought of doing kindness, but hounded to death the poor and the needy and the broken-hearted. He loved to pronounce a curse. May it come back on him, David asks the Lord. He found no pleasure in blessing. May it be far from him. He wore cursing as his garment. It entered into his body like water, into his bones like oil. May it be a cloak wrapped about him like a belt, tied forever around him. May this be the Lord's payment to my accusers. Have you ever felt like that towards your enemies? To those who speak evil of me, make these things happen, David is saying. But you, sovereign Lord, help me for your name's sake, out of the goodness of your love. Deliver me, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I fade away like an evening shadow. I am taken off like a locust. My knees give way from fasting. My body is thin and gaunt. I am an object of scorn to my accusers when they see me, and they shake their heads. Help me, Lord my God. Save me according to your unfailing love. Let them know that it is your hand, that you, Lord, have done it. While they curse, may you bless. May those who attack me be put to shame, but may your servant rejoice. May my accusers be clothed with disgrace and wrapped in shame as in a cloak. With my mouth, I will greatly extol the Lord. In the great throng of worshippers, I will praise him, for he stands at the right hand of the needy to save their lives from those who would condemn them. Have you ever felt this way? Have you ever acted irrationally about people who have done some kind of wrong to you? I wonder if you have felt and been like David. David is saying all this, but he continues, as irrational as he is about the people who are chasing after him, to have a rational, true view of who God is and that God is in charge. But you see here, don't you, his raw emotions as he is there before the Lord and as he complains to the Lord. It's okay to complain to the Lord, you know. You don't want to be saying to other people, you know, I don't want to be saying to David about what Chris has done to get me so, okay? But if I wanted to, I can say that to God, because God knows the truth of the matter. Chris would never do anything to annoy me, really. But you get my point. So David, he's crying out with his complaint to God. In this situation, he's also crying out for protection. And we can hear this in Psalm number 140. If we hold Psalm number 140 alongside today's Bible reading, just listen to this. Rescue me, Lord, from evildoers, he says. Protect me from the violent who devise evil plans in their hearts and stir up war every day. They make their tongues as sharp as serpents. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Keep me safe, he asks the Lord. Keep me from the hands of the wicked. Protect me from the violent who devise ways to trip my feet. He's got people who are ready to hand him over to Saul, hasn't he? He's got Saul waiting with his army, ready to take his life. And he's telling God about it. He's telling him of his fears and asking for his protection. The arrogant have hidden the snare for me, he goes on. They've spread out the cords of their net and have set traps for me along my path. I say to the Lord, you are my God. Hear, Lord, my cry for mercy. Sovereign Lord, my strong deliverer, you shield me in the day of battle. Do not grant the wicked their desires, Lord. Do not let their plans succeed. He's reminding God, isn't he? Please do this. Please protect me. And how often do we know that God is righteous and feel the need to ask God to do what he's already promised? There's not a day goes by when in my prayers I don't say, please don't forget me, Lord. When you bring your church to you, bring me with them. You know, God has promised that to me, and yet I need that reassurance from my Father. It's like a child with their parents, isn't it? Looking for that reassurance. And David is exactly the same. Those who surround me proudly rear their heads. May the mischief of their lips engulf them. May burning coals fall on them. May they be thrown into the fire, into fiery pits, never to rise. He starts complaining again, doesn't he? That's what we're like in prayer. May slanderers not be established in the land. May disaster hunt down the violent. I know that the Lord secures justice for the poor and upholds the cause of the needy. Surely the righteous will praise your name, and the upright will live in your presence. He goes back to realizing exactly who God is. And finally, this is a much shorter one, but Psalm 113 is important as well. He cries out for help. I mean, when we're praying, most of the time, when we remember to pray to the Lord, we're asking for his help, aren't we? We're asking because we want the Lord to do something for us. How long, Lord, will you forget me? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? You see, he's realizing that the first two questions he's asked are his problem and not God's. How long will my enemy triumph over me, he asks. Look on me and answer me, Lord my God. He feels that God has gone silent on him, and he wants to have a word from him. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. So he's having doubts, isn't he? He's doubting that God will deliver on his promise. But then he comes back. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Up and down, isn't he? Up and down. But it's important that as we read the story of David's life, that we have these psalms to remind us that it was an ebb and flow for him. It wasn't a trajectory of David experiencing grief and hardship and then rising. It was much more an undulating journey of ups and downs, of troughs and peaks. The Psalms are insights into David's mind as we read the story that we have in 1 Samuel, snippets of those emotions, and a resource for us that can help us in relationship with God. But in the Psalms, we only get one side of the conversation, don't we? We hear David's cry of complaint. We hear David's plea for protection and his prayer for help. And we get a sense that as the mood of the Psalms he writes change, that God must have communicated and he must have answered those prayers, because David comes back in a different mood and in a different sense according to the Psalms that we read, that ebb and flow that I spoke about. And it mirrors and maps the walk that he had with the Lord, prayers being answered along the way, but we just hear the prayers go up. But in today's passage, we get a wonderful insight, because we get a real sense that David's prayers to these psalms that we've just read are answered, and we get to see the answer. And we only get that knowledge if we're reading the psalms alongside this in scripture. So it shows how one scripture can bring insight to another piece of scripture, and that we must hold them alongside each other. We read how God hid David away from Saul in the wilderness. And let me show you on this map here exactly what is going on. Now, we are at Ziph. Ziph isn't written on that map, but if you can see where Hebron is, which is where it says you've got the hills of Judah, and where it says the hills of Judah on the slant in that, lovely. Well, that, perfect. Thank you very much. There we go. So this is the hills of Judah, and this is Hebron here. And southeast of Hebron, down here, would have been where Ziph is. So if you look at the way that the land is laid out, this is mountainous region. And so when the rain would come in, if God was blessing Israel, rain would come and fall on the land. That's how they knew that they were being blessed. And all of this area here, this side of the mountains, would receive rain. And then where it says the Judean wilderness, I'm so glad I've got this laser because it would have been difficult to point this out to you, but this is all the wilderness. And this is where David was in. So anything on that side, on this side of the mountains, was the wilderness. The rain all tended to fall over this side here. And Ziph would have been just down here, just on the edge of the wilderness. And David was wandering around in there. So it was quite a hard place to live. Thanks for that, Terry. And we read how in this area he receives help. And he receives an answer to those prayers that we've heard lifted up from those psalms. And he receives that answer of prayer through an individual, from a visit, from Jonathan, Saul's son. And I want to say more about this visit that Jonathan gives to David later. But we also read how God does not allow Saul to capture David. I mean, that's another answer to prayer, isn't it? And God, in that instance, uses Israel's old foe, the Philistines, to cause Saul to change his trajectory just when David is in Saul's grasp. Now, all of this is a lesson for us regarding how God uses events. And even using decisions, and sometimes bad decisions, that other men make to also bring about God's will, to bring about his grand plan. Somehow, and this is something we can't really get our head around, but somehow God is able to grant us free will, and without impeding on that at all, is able to position chess pieces of what other people have done according to their free will to have those things all in the correct place, so at the correct times, his plan can come into motion. He's like an incredible chess player who understands what the opponent is going to do before they even make their move. And we see this repeatedly happen throughout the scriptures, how God uses even bad things to bring about his good in the end. So, for example, Judas betraying Jesus. What a terrible thing to happen. But if that didn't happen, Jesus wouldn't have gone to the cross. And he wouldn't have been able to bring about redemption for our sins in the way that he did. So you see how God is able to use these things, these free will choices that people make. And these things happen, as I said, repeatedly in Scripture, but we also will have seen them happen in our own lives as well. Sometimes a hardship or something awful that's happened in someone's life can bring them to God. Sometimes an ailment or some kind of a handicap or illness that we have to journey with, sometimes that can bring us closer to God. God can use all these things to bring us closer to him. And in Christian circles, at least, some people call these God incidences, don't they? And God can use them. He can use anything for good. And in this instance, God uses Jonathan's visit and the feud between the Philistines and the Israelites to help David and to restore confidence in him. God speaks in many different ways So always have your ears open and always expect to hear from him in the most unexpected of circumstances. Keith was on the high street in Watford the other day, and he was speaking to a Muslim man who was trying to evangelize Keith to become a Muslim. And Keith saw an opportunity to share the gospel and to correct the man on what his perception was about Christianity. And you never know when those opportunities are going to come, and they can come from quite unexpected situations. But here, we remember that David is anointed to become future king of Israel. And we need to start thinking about David as a type of church again here to give us encouragement. So as David is anointed to become future king of Israel, Christ's body are also anointed to share in the kingship of Jesus, each being attributed a crown of faith according to how we act in faith. Okay? Because of the anointing David has received, the Lord will protect and deliver him from Saul. And David needs to remember that. And in the same way, we need to remember that because of the promise that the Lord has made to the church, the gates of hell will never be victorious over the church. No matter what we think is happening in this age to the church, Satan will not prosper over the church. The Lord will fulfill his promise to David, and the Lord will fulfill his promise to the church. David would go on to be crowned king of all Israel, and believing Christians will receive their crowns at the Bema Seat judgment, and they will share in Christ's earthly rule on earth, having dominion from sea to sea and from the great rivers to the ends of the earth. Hold on to that promise. Hold on to that no matter what's going on, because David needed to hold on to his promises, and just as God fulfilled what he did to David, he will fulfill also what he'll do for the church. David would go on to be crowned. We will go on to receive our crowns as well. And so the life of David, it can be a tremendous encouragement to us as a church, in that we see that God delivers on his promises. But we're not at that point yet, are we? We're not at the Bema Seat judgment yet. We are with David where he is in the scripture today. We are in the wilderness. We have enemies in this place that we live. People who do not want to see the church prosper. And so I want to encourage you also from today's Bible passage regarding the example set by Jonathan. We know that David knows he's anointed to be king of Israel. We know, and we can see at the end of each prayer, that despite the doubt that he has, he still hangs on to that. And you will still hang on to your salvation. Even though you might doubt at times and have troubles and cry out to the Lord and complain to the Lord and ask for his help, you still hang on to your salvation. It's what makes you Christian. It's what makes you a follower of Christ. But there are still hardships. David needed to go on remembering that the same God was with him, the one who had anointed him to be king of Israel, the one who had protected him as a shepherd boy when the big cats and the bears came. We know that David knows that the Lord granted him victory over Goliath. He had remembered that. We know that David knows that the Lord had provided him with safe passage from Keilah, as we heard last week when Saul was closing in then. But we also know that David is human. We also know from the Psalms that he suffered with doubt, just as we do. And as David wandered in the wilderness and knew that Saul was closing in, it seems that David's faith has reached the low point. Can it recover? He was no doubt discouraged. He was uncomfortable, feeling far from home, longing for his wife, longing for the old life that he had in the palace court. He had a more comfortable life than you and I, at one point. And he was having a little pity party in the wilderness, we hear in today's passage. But the Lord, hearing his repeated prayers from those psalms that we've just read, sent Jonathan to remind him of God's faithfulness and his promise. And he tells him, "Don't be afraid. My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this." And the two men, the Bible tells us, made a covenant before the Lord. Then Jonathan went home, but David remained in Horesh. He was in exactly the same place. He was still in that wilderness region, metaphorically and in reality. But something had changed with this little visit that he'd had. And I wonder, friends, have you ever felt that you needed a Jonathan to remind you of your salvation? Perhaps you've had such a person that gave you encouragement just when you needed it the most, just when you're at your lowest point. We all need a Jonathan. But I wonder, is there someone sat here today who is questioning perhaps their very salvation? Who has reached a low point, something going on in life, who knows? Who needs lifting up and reminding of God's goodness. We need to be a church of Jonathans. We all need to be that. So often people can go to church and they can come out of church feeling more down than when they came in. That's not what church should be about. We should be encouraging each other. We all have ended up here at Ricky Baptist to share a journey together, to stand side by side and to elevate each other until the day of salvation comes and that promise comes. The promise that only Jesus Christ can offer of salvation. So I want to say to you, however you're feeling today, hang in there. Because the day of your salvation is at hand. And if you don't believe me, believe what the Bible says about David, what happened to him, how God answered his prayer, and how he elevated him and fulfilled his promises to him. Because David, as a type of church, shows exactly what God will do for his church. He will not abandon us. He will not forsake us. He will lift us up when the time is ready to rule with him. We give thanks for that today. Amen. Well, we're going to sing now from Baptist Praise and Worship, an encouraging hymn that helps us to remember that we should always listen for God, even in unexpected places, but always in his word. And so we sing together number 101, Lord, you sometimes speak in wonders. take a seat. Going into this Platinum Jubilee week, I would just like to lift up some prayers of thanks for our Queen, who is a wonderful example of faith in Jesus Christ. So let us pray together, giving thanks. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the reign of your servant Elizabeth, our Queen, and for the example of loving and faithful service which she has shown among us. Help us to follow her example of dedication and to commit our lives to you and to one another in Jesus Christ. Lord of our lives and Father of all, let our thanksgiving prove itself in service to you and to our Queen, to our country and to one another in Jesus' name's sake. And Lord, the way, the truth and the life, as we give you thanks for Queen Elizabeth, may she ever be provided with all she may need in the days ahead for her ministry among us, strengthened to meet every demand which her office may make, and may all of her decisions, all of her doings be nourished by your word and your example. Almighty God, fountain of all goodness, bless Queen Elizabeth and all who are under her authority, that they may order all things in wisdom and equity, righteousness and peace, to honour and glory your name and the good of your church and people. God, who provides for your faithful people by your power and rules over them in love, bless her, that under this nation it may be wisely governed and that your church may serve you and the people. We give thanks that she has been devoted to you with her whole heart and has been persevering in faith shown by her good works. May this continue until we see your everlasting kingdom through Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you the Father and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so let us pray now the words that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And so we close now by singing number 11 in Baptist Praise and Worship, I Will Enter His Gates with Thanksgiving in My Heart. We'll sing this one through twice.
Thank you.
Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.